Sodom was not judged for one sin, but for crossing a line that God Himself had drawn. Tonight, we examine what Sodom represents prophetically and why it matters to us living in the world today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Last Christian. This is our weekly Bible study show. And you may be asking yourself, why is it today? Well, because the next one's about Christmas, and that will fall generally on Christmas Day. So we decided to just switch them around this week, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Where do you see the Christmas show? Oi! We're going to bust some bubbles over there. It's going to be good. we have something to offend all sides of that issue. Right, Joel?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do. But, I don't want to scare people away either. It is a good one, for sure. Mm. And, you know, we were debating, Bible study show is normally midweek. But this time, Christmas is midweek. So, you know, I was thinking, well, you know, we're going to do a show on Sodom. We're going to finish the show on Sodom, conclusion. That's a great show to have on Christmas Day, you know. So we decided that we'd move Sodom up to make first
Christmas
week.
A little more uplifting.
Yeah, yeah, our first of the week show. And so anyway, I'm looking forward to this because this is the conclusion, and we did have a lot of ground to cover. So, David, I'll turn it over to you, sir.
Well, you got to pray.
Oh, I sure do. Yeah, I almost missed it again, didn't I? Okay. Father, we do come to you, and we worship your name, Father. We thank you for everything that you've given us. And at this time of year especially, we know that many people are turning their attention to other things than Jesus Christ. And we need to, as Christians, remind people the reason for Christmas, and to bring that celebration to you, because without Jesus Christ, we have no hope, and with Him, we are full of hope. And we pray that this message does reach far and wide, and especially to those that need to hear it the most. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen.
Amen. Amen. So, like you said, we're talking about Sodom, and there's a lot of inferences about Sodom. It's kind of a type of the world, right?
Right.
So, and we got into it last time when we talked about how, since it's a type of the evil world, and then, you know, Lot was yanked out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, he literally, he's lollygagging, as it were.
Yeah.
You like that word? That's a good one, right?
Well, I got something right off the top.
Oh, okay.
Not unusual for me, right? But isn't this the first instance of a promise that God makes coming true almost immediately? And by that, what I mean is that Noah had just gone through the flood. There's a time difference there. I understand that, and you can maybe get into that and enlighten me on that some. But God promised with the rainbow that he would never again destroy the earth with water. And I'm looking at Sodom, and, you know, somebody said one time, you know, if the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah got them this fire destruction, that we better watch out, because, you know, it's basically the same thing now. But he destroyed it with fire. He didn't destroy it with water, is my long point there.
Okay.
Okay. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah, because if Sodom basically would have repented if they knew what you knew. That's how bad these people were. No, that's pretty bad. Imagine someone telling you that. They saw the angels come, and they saw what was happening. They saw Lot being yanked out by these angels, and still they would even change. But these people, it gives credence to that thought. Who said it? One of the 1800s preacher, I forgot, but he said, you know, it's more dangerous to be a Christian. No. Okay, let me start all over again.
Okay.
In other words, it says it's better to be a someone who doesn't know Christ. Oh, it's easier for a non-Christian to become a Christian than for a Christian who thinks he already is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what it was.
And that applies to me, by the way, because, you know, I called myself a Christian for decades, David, and I was far from it. Trust me.
Yeah.
Far from it.
But you think you are, so you don't do anything about it.
Exactly.
Whereas if you know it, and that's what Jesus is talking about, I wish you were hot or cold. And it's like, oh, the cold. Yeah, because you're taking a side. And if you're taking a side, I can have a good argument with you to prove that your side is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as if you're not taking any sides, you don't care. It doesn't matter what you say because you're not listening.
Right.
You think you're right already.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I was going with that. I forgot the exact phrase, but that's the idea.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it makes perfect sense. And one thing before you start your teaching here is that one reason for this show and one reason that I started this show is because I wanted people that are elderly, like me, okay, to understand that it's never too late. And one of the hardest things that I ever did was to walk down to and publicly express my acceptance of Christ in front of a church that already believed I was a Christian. Because when I went to that church, I told people, I'm a Christian. But I wasn't. Okay. I had not been saved yet. You know, so I want people to understand that, yes, it doesn't matter. You can be 80 years old or older and be pushed up in a wheelchair or whatever. It doesn't matter. Anybody can accept Christ at any point in time. And your sins don't matter either. Jesus is there to forgive you of your sins. With that, David, I'll turn over the teaching to you. I'm sorry, I've taken up too much time already.
Oh, that's fine. But we're going to go into the future of what Sodom's about, too, as prophecy. But I want to talk about something here. Back in Genesis 13, he talks about, you know, the valleys of Jordan, basically, where it was well watered there before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. So it was really nice there at one point, which is why the city was there, you know? And that's why Lot chose to go there, because he's like, oh, this is nice.
Nice.
You know, today it's just a barren desert with lots of little sulfur balls all over the place.
Yeah.
And we know why that.
Yeah.
But it talks about it later, but the men of Sodom were wicked in 13:13, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. But then we see, even though they knew that it was wicked and exceeding, remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about Abram at the time, and he defeated some kings on the side, and one of those people that he helped was the king of Sodom.
Yes, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so it's the king of the world, but he didn't really help him for his sake. He helped him because he wanted to get Lot out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Chedorlaomer. So that's hard to say for me. Maybe you can say it better.
No.
Chedorlaomer.
You know me, my history of pronouncing words is not good. Oh, yeah.
I have to come up with a funny word for that. That'll be good. But it was this king of Sodom. Afterwards, he said, listen, I'll pay you for all this stuff. So we have that picture of, okay, are we going to take tons and tons and tons of money, but it's completely wicked?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we going to go with Melchizedek? All right. And this like a picture that we see in here. Melchizedek is the king of righteousness. And so, and Abram chose correctly. He says, I won't even take a shoelace from you, king of Sodom, because then you'll say, I have made Abram rich.
Yeah.
And he actually gave 10% to Melchizedek. And that kind of the side note here, you know, there's that argument in the church. Do we tithe? Do we not tithe? Do we tithe? Do we not tithe?
And is it 10%? That's a big argument that I heard.
Yeah, literally what a tithe is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. Not under the Levitical law. They are correct on both sides of this. You don't tithe under the Levitical law because we are not under the Levitical law.
Mm-hmm.
If you were, you would actually have three of those and it would be 30%.
So
if you want to go under the Levitical law, then you need 30%. You got to.
Yeah. Open that wallet.
And for different reasons. Mm-hmm. But Hebrews clearly tells us we're That's not what we're doing. We're the new priesthood is Melchizedek. And that's where Abraham willingly stood up and said, I'm going to give you 10% of the spoils.
Okay.
So you're not required to, like the Levitical law, but however, he's going to look at your heart and say, well, they did it out of their own heart. And then you're going to give my tithe.
I think that's the important thing about tithing is, you know, you don't make a big deal out of it. I remember going back to the church again, that deacons, especially, I was good friends with one of them, really, really close friends with one of them. And he made a point every week of before the service started, even, I mean, even before they were really even set up for the he and a lot of them, if not all of them, would take their tithe and put it in the offering plate before the service even started. They didn't, you know, and you know, you got the envelope, right? It's got the names and all that stuff on it. They always put it upside down every time. They didn't want anybody to know that they did anything at all, you know.
Okay.
And that, I kind of adopted that, you know, and not that I went up before the service started and put my tithe in that way. I waited until, it's, you know, the plate came around or whatever, but I've always put it down upside down. I didn't want people knowing my name, you know, or that it was me that gave if they were the next person in line. I don't know that it makes any difference at all, but, you know, you're just not calling it, just not calling attention to yourself. I think that's the
point. That was the best part.
Yeah.
Now, when I was, you know, first saved, I mean, I was saved at 15, so I was like a kid, and right on up into 17, I was a little, you know, jokester even then. And I remember a couple times they'd pass that basket around, and then I'd lean over to the person next to me. I said, "This is great. How much did you get?"
Yeah. How much did you?
And they'd look at me. Like, I remember a couple times I just threw my credit card in there. You know, I was like, and it wasn't like the big name credit card. It was like Steers and different things like that. I'd throw the credit card in. Hey, just get what you want.
Oh, yeah. Man. David, you are something
else. Now they do take credit cards.
You are something else, sir. Okay.
All right. I have repented.
Okay.
So we were looking at Sodom and Gomorrah last week. Lot and his kids were yanked out, but the wife turned back. Mm-hmm. So she apparently loved the world more than she loved being raptured. Mm-hmm. And that, we're just kind of wondering, does that mean people can be, you know, if they're going in the rapture, can they look back? Yeah. Or was she only going because she was, you know, a Lot's wife and she didn't want to go to begin with?
Yeah, I think that would be the one I would equate it to. Yeah.
And then, you know, I mean, if that was the case, it would kind of indicate, well, yeah, you're not saved just because your husband or wife is or your family is. Mm-hmm. No, if you love the world, then you're not going to be raptured out either.
I think that's the big example, is that you've got to make your individual decision, and that her decision was not to accept, and his was. And so, you know, that's how I equate it to the rapture. You know, you've got to be a believer, and if you're not, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You don't go.
Too bad for you. So we're up to, I think, Genesis 19:24 now.
Okay.
It said, the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And we see that actually took place now. I just read some other recent articles where they actually found the sulfur bowls and everything. I know they found them years ago, but then they found some more evidence that it's actually like the Bible says. But for centuries before, people say, oh, look, the Bible's, you know, fake. It's just full of stories. Mm-hmm. And so people even say that today, even after all the archaeology where they found everything.
Yeah.
No, we found it. No. It's just stories. Oh, okay.
Well, let me ask you another stupid question. Is there a volcano anywhere close to this? Because I'm not familiar with the landscape there. Is there a volcano?
No, it's actually like by the Dead Sea. It's really low.
Okay, so there was no doubt. That's the point I'm trying to make. There is no doubt that this was sent from heaven. That God did this. It wasn't anything.
Yeah, it was a meteor burst.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, I got you.
You know, that's what they're finding and proving now, and there's just tiny sulfur balls everywhere, and and by the evidence, it exploded and basically sent, you know, fireballs in little pellets over the entire area, Sodom and Gomorrah, and some of the towns that are around it that are also
valley.
Wicked.
Yeah, because I remember something about the valley there. Okay.
And it was like fine-tuned, and it literally set the whole place on fire at once.
Yeah.
Mm. So... you want to escape? Well, which way you want to go? Because that way's fire. That way's fire. That way's fire.
Yeah.
Behind you's fire, and right above your head. Look.
Yeah. Oh man, can you imagine?
In 28, it says the smoke of the country went up. Okay, as the smoke of a furnace. So that's how bad it was. It was literally burning everything up with that big black smoke. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt.
Okay.
So he remembered Abraham. So it kind of likens us to the church is in there. And then, now Israel, he remembered Israel and the promise, and he's like, "Oh, let me get them out of there." Everything starts to tie together when you do this.
Yeah.
And then they did some weird things with the dad. Well, we're not going to talk about on this show. The two daughters. That's we have.
The
Moab.
Yeah, I remember Moabites. I remember that story. Yeah.
Now imagine that. But here's the thing. Think you're looking out there. And they believed that this was the end of the world. That's how bad the destruction was. Mm-hmm. That's why they did what they did. The two daughters, go look it up in Genesis 19. Mm-hmm. It was so bad. They thought it was the end of the world. So they said, we got to populate humanity again.
Right.
So that's wild. So that must have been pretty bad.
Yes. Awful. Yeah. Apocalyptic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's where we are. But then there's references going back to that. When we see in Deuteronomy 29, it said the whole land thereof is fire and brimstone in verse 29, 23. Mm-hmm. And salt and burning that is not sown nor bears, any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. All right. So now it's become a byword. It's become an idiom. Oh, it's like Sodom and Gomorrah. So that's we even start to see it with Moses writing Deuteronomy. Mm-hmm. That's what was that? 400 years later.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. So 400 years later, we did still see that's an idiom, and it's even an idiom today. You know, 3,000 years later.
Right. Yeah.
And even all the nations shall say, "Wherefore has the Lord done this unto the land? What meaneth he by the heat of this great anger?" And then the men shall say, "Because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt." Mm-hmm. So this judgment is coming down because people have forsaken that initial contract.
Right.
And this is where we are. Okay. The initial one. Specifically with Israel, he says, "You're going to do this and this and this, and I'm going to make you the king of many nations, and you're going to be blessed coming in, blessed going out, all these different things." Well, why is this fire coming down? Because you forsook the covenant. Yeah. You made a commitment. You made a life commitment to this contract with the King of Kings, mm-hmm. and you broke it.
They shattered it. This area had to be the worst of all of them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's talking about it later. That's why you're going to be like Sodom, is because of this. So if you look at it, it goes right back to Romans chapter 1, where he says, you know, the sin of homosexuality is not what caused the sin, but that is the punishment for the sin.
Yeah, that's what people don't understand. Yeah.
And that's so we see the same thing here. They forsook the covenant of the Lord. So God gave them over to homosexuality because it is such a destroying force.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And they don't want to hear that. So they get all mad and call you a homophobe and all this other stuff.
Right.
Well, yeah, if homosexuality is going to completely destroy you and your family and your eternity, I would say that's probably a good thing to fear.
Right. Without a doubt.
Yeah. So, but they've forsaken it. So the punishment is that, and then he had to burn it up. Any kind of sin or punishment, you got to put it through the furnace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. That's why the smoke and fire came up.
Yeah.
And we even talks about in Deuteronomy 32, it says their vine is as the vine of Sodom in the fields of Gomorrah and the grapes of Gall. Mm-hmm. Ooh, the grapes of Gall.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me, David, that Gomorrah, the Bible doesn't really mention Gomorrah until after the fact, right? I mean, I'm not seeing it before.
Well, Sodom was kind of like the capital. You know, we would say, hey, if anyone talks about, hey, Washington, D.C. today, they know they mean mm-hmm. the whole country.
Or Dallas and Fort Worth, maybe, something like that. Okay.
You would know. If I say Dallas, you know it's Texas.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And then Isaiah prophesies even later on. Now, we are in Isaiah chapter 1, and we'll look at, start at verse 8. It says, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers. Ooh, I like cucumbers. As a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. All right? Mm-hmm. Now, look at the confluence of idioms here. Abram was negotiating, right?
Mm-hmm.
How about 50?
Yeah, all the way down to 10.
Oh, yeah, 50. Mm-hmm. How about 45?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Can we do 10? All right, 10. Okay, good. So sold at 10. We'll stop right there. You can't get much lower than 10. Well, it's the same thing here. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been like Sodom and we should have been like Gomorrah.
Yeah.
So in other words, that's the only reason Israel's around today is because there's a very small remnant
always
that loves the Lord,
mm-hmm.
okay, and loves their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. All right, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. In other words, you better repent, you need to hear the word of God.
Amen.
Yep, to what purpose is a multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Says the Lord, I am full of burnt offerings and rams and the fat of beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this of your hand? Who told you to do all these sacrifices? I'm tired of them, he's like. I'm tired of all your sacrifices. You didn't change anything. You come in here, you got a sacrifice, but you didn't change anything. You go out and do it again. Mm-hmm. You come in here every Sunday and you say, oh, God, you know, and then you go out and you do the same thing every week. He said, that's useless to me. Don't come in here praising me. Don't come in here saying God is good. And then you're going out doing Sodom things all week.
Right. Okay? Right.
Mm-hmm. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even with the solemn meeting. Okay? So he's talking about the same thing here. He's like, you're not changing anything. You're still like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's pretty bad.
Yeah, it sounds like the modern church to me.
Yeah, yeah, and this is what Israel was doing back then, and it's today's modern church, which tells me there's a very small remnant.
Very small. Yeah.
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 Maybe there's only 10 of us going in the rapture. I don't know.
I got my ticket. That's all I know.
I got my ticket. Mine's number 9. Woo! Just made it.
Just made it. Yeah. Just made it under the bell. Okay.
Okay. So, and then a little later on, Isaiah is like, for Jerusalem is ruined. It's ruined. And Judah is fallen because of their tongue and their doings against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them. And they declare their sin as Sodom and they don't hide it. Again, that's where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. So here they are with this wickedness, okay? They show their countenance. They're like standing in the face of God. That's like when God says, Nimrod became a mighty hunter in the face of the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's what he means. You know how we bow? We bow because we're reverent to the Lord. Well, they're like this. You know, no, you can't tell me what to do. That's what it means. The show of their countenance does witness against them. In other words, they're sticking their face in the face of God, and that is their witness. Okay? And they declare, they say, oh, we're like Sodom, and they don't even hide it. And that's where we are today.
That's exactly where we are today.
Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Their reward is going to be the evil that comes down on them, lest they repent and get before God on their face. Put your face to the ground. That's what's called prostrate.
Yeah. Now this, fire and brimstone and all that, this comes back again in Revelation, except it's worldwide, right? I mean, this is like the precursor or the demo of what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, this was
later.
In Isaiah, so the only people representing the world would be Israel at that point.
Okay.
Now that Jesus is the king of all kings and over, everything, we talked about that many times, where now he's the Lord of lords.
Right.
He's over the top of everybody, so he rules the whole world. That's why we see the sin of Sodom in the whole world in Revelation.
Yeah. I sure don't want any part of that fire and brimstone stuff. I mean, ooh, my gracious. That'll bring chills to your spine, really, or at least it should.
Yep. And then Yirmiyahu, remember him?
Nope, but you can educate
okay,
me.
Okay, Jeremiah.
On. Okay, there we go. Him I know.
You know that one. Mm-hmm. So Jeremiah 23 talks about that too. And like in 23:13. Okay. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria, and they prophesied in Baal, and cause my people Israel to err. I've also seen the prophets of Jerusalem, a horrible thing. They commit adultery. They walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. So if you're committing adultery with God, which like Jerusalem did, they walk in the lies and they're like, we don't even want to come back. They don't return from their wickedness. You're like Sodom.
Yeah.
Basically he's saying, so, and what happened to Sodom? Hey, burning sulfur.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a pretty picture.
No, it's not.
Okay. And then, let me see, 49:18. He says, as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighbors, said the Lord, no man shall abide there, neither of the son of man dwell in it. So we see consistent references back to Sodom, the original pile of sin. And in the second half, we're going to look into what that means for the future prophecies, too. We're finally getting to the point of the show.
Yeah.
Prophecies, Sodom and prophecy.
Yeah.
In the meantime, don't put your face into the face of God.
No.
All right? You bow your face to the ground and you say, you are the Lord of lords, the King of kings. He came and he purchased you with his own blood. He paid off your sin debt so you can be with him, and we're going to be there too. You can be with him forever, for eternity. That's not a long time. That means you're stepping outside of time. You can't even go back into it.
Right.
So Lord willing, we'll see you guys in the second half with more interesting information. Be right back.
Every day on Revelation Radio, strengthen your faith with the transforming word with Dr. Mike Spaulding for clear and bold Bible teaching that is rooted firmly in Scripture. Join us twice daily at 8:30 a.m. Eastern, 7:30 a.m. Central, and again 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central. And be sure to visit drmikespaulding.com for even more information about the transforming word radio broadcast, daily, right here on revelationradio.net.
They want you silent. He won't be. The Sutherland Report with Mark Sutherland cuts through the noise, tackling global agendas, cultural chaos, and the spiritual battles raging behind the headlines. Truth isn't trendy. It's eternal. The Sutherland Report, airing daily at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, right here on Revelation Radio, where the unfiltered, uncensored truth still exists.
Hey, we made it back.
We did. Right.
We might make it to Christmas this year. That'll be good.
That would be good. Yeah.
And then raptured like the day after. That would be awesome.
That would be good. Yeah.
Yeah. After I get all my presents. But I can't take it with it. That reminds me of a guy. So he gets up to the gate, right? And Peter's there because that's what we're told. I was like, you'd think he would want to go do something else instead of being a gatekeeper.
But yeah, hey.
So Peter's at the gate, but this guy was really, really, really rich on earth, and he worked really hard to get it. And he's like, so he's trying to bring all his stuff, right? And he's like, where's all my stuff? You know, I worked hard for this. I got the giant mansion, the boat, all this money. I got the all sorts of things. So Peter's like, this is heaven. You can't bring anything into heaven. So the guy says, but I did all this work. Can you just make an exception just this one time? Like, I don't know. So Peter's like, hold on a minute. He goes, he talks to a couple angels, Gabriel's over there, right? He says, he comes back, he says, okay, we made like it's a special arrangement. But you got this briefcase, and you can only bring what fits in the briefcase. It's like, okay, I'll do it. That's a deal. So he goes down. He's like, what am I going to bring? I got it. I got all these gold bricks, right? So he's like, I'm going to fill this up. They'll fit nicely, okay, and it'll be worth a lot. He brings all the bricks. He shoves them in there, and he just barely gets the briefcase closed, and he trumps his way back up to heaven. Trump. He gets before Peter, and he's like, okay, I'm ready. He's like, well, I got to see what's in the briefcase first. You know? Oh, okay, great. So he's all excited, and he opens it up, and Peter looks in there, and he goes, pavement? You brought pavement?
Right? The streets of gold, right? Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I worked for a guy, David, you know, for like 2 years. I was in car sales for 2 years after got out of the airline industry. And the owner of the dealership I worked at, and he had like, I think, three or four dealerships that he owned. Uh-huh. And I worked for his nephew, was my boss. And he was talking about how rich this guy was and everything. And it came, well, he can't take it with him, you know, somebody said. And my boss looked at me and said, oh, yeah, he's already figured that out. I always thought that was kind of funny. But anyway, getting back to Sodom, we're getting down to the prophecy part now. So
we are. Yeah. I'm going to have to say my other joke.
Okay.
So we are in Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah. Let's jump up to chapter 50, verse 40.
Okay.
So we'll start up. But he's talking about the prophecies that are coming. Okay. And he goes on and on. So I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it starts in 39. It says, therefore, the wild beasts of the desert with the wild beasts of the islands shall dwell there. The owls shall dwell therein, shall be no more inhabited forever. Okay. So he's talking about Babylon. This is what's going to happen to Babylon.
Right.
And just like we see today, Sodom is destroyed. You can't live there. It's just, there's nothing there. It's just dirt and burnt dirt. And so he says, shall not be inhabited forever, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell there. So he's talking about the future of Babylon. So there's the prophecy part. But again, he's hearkening it back to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
So all of the sins that are attributed to that, and they're forsaking the Lord, they were given up to their sodomy, where we get the word.
Right.
And that is prophesied for the future of what we call Babylon and then even Mystery Babylon. And I think it's probably both. People argue, oh, is it Mystery Babylon? Is it the Roman Catholic Church? Is it the actual Babylon? Yeah. It's probably, you know, the spiritual as well as the physical Babylon, where it will be destroyed. And he said, behold, the people shall come from the north and a great nation, and many kings shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. And he goes on and on about the destruction that's there. Mm-hmm. Even in Lamentations. Remember Lamentations?
Yeah, but I remember the book, but I don't really remember much about it.
Okay. Yeah, it's not Lamentations. That's where you like you put plastic on the paper.
Right, so. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Lamentations is basically lamenting. So he's like, oh, God, oh, this is horrible. Mm-hmm. This is what happened. So this is what they're doing. They're lamenting over everything. Mm-hmm. And it says, the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom that was overthrown as in a moment, and no hand stayed on her. Her Nazarites were purer than snow. They were whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies, and their polishing of sapphire. Their visage is black. So it goes on to talk about it. The daughter of my people. Well, who is that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the real question, is what the daughter of my people. Mm-hmm. And people will some relay that, oh, that's basically Israel, because they're all the offspring of his people. Guess. And some say, well, that might be the church.
Yeah.
Because the daughter of my people is greater than that. So that's for you to decide. But there he is. Mm-hmm. In either case, it's greater than the sin of Sodom. And that's what you were talking about earlier. We're going to see if Sodom saw this, they would have repented.
Well, you know, I don't really want to bring this up, but I'm going to anyway. LGBTQ+.
Yeah.
I
think
only
that's lettuce, bacon, tomato, quinoa.
I mean, I can only imagine that that's the same thing as Sodom, right? I mean, all of that.
That's exactly
all of it. I mean, you know, I never equated all of that to Sodom. I'd always equated the homosexuality stuff there, but not all of the LGBT to whatever. You know, I never equated all that. But now I think it's pretty clear that that's exactly what was going on and exactly why it had to be destroyed.
Yep. Ezekiel talks about it a little bit here. Behold, let me see. It's all over chapter 16. Okay. Mm-hmm. After we're done lamenting. Mm-hmm. Okay. And thine elder sister is Samaria. So we're in 1646. And she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand, and thy younger sister that dwell at the right hand, is Sodom and her daughters. So he's talking about the people again, and the offspring of the people. Mm-hmm. They're just like Sodom. Same deal, just like Sodom. You're wicked people turning away from God in his face, sticking it in his face.
Right.
That's probably not the best idea.
But it's something that's happening today. Same scenario. Okay.
Same prophecies. Now we're going to, we'll really dig into that in a minute, but I want to just finish up the Ezekiel. Amos talked about it too, but let me see. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom, thy sister, hath not done, nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. So now these people are worse than Sodom. Mm. All right, that's what Ezekiel. So Ezekiel goes off on them. And here's the fun part. 56, and this ties in with today. It says, for thy sister Sodom was not mentioned by thy mouth in the day of thy pride.
Mm.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Isn't that how that all comes back around?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. That's Amos 4:11.
Okay.
And you are a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. All right, so there is a picture of whom? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, that's a picture of Lot's wife. She was plucked out of the firebrand.
She was plucked out, but she,
But yet you have not returned to me.
Mm-hmm.
So this answers that question too.
Yeah.
So not everything is isolated in the Bible.
No. No, it's amazing, you know, and I keep going back to the same thing. Maybe I've got to do something on it one of these days. But everything in the Bible, it's like I hate to describe it as a loop, but if it happens once, it's going to happen again. You know,
prophecy is pattern, right?
Yeah, patterns. Yeah, that's the thing. And it never really registered with me until just recently. But anyway,
good, yeah. Nice. Therefore, thus I will do unto thee, O Israel, because I will do this unto thee. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Yeah, isn't that the Marines say that?
Yeah.
Oh, do you know God? Because you're about to meet him.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, there's something about that, you know, prepare to meet your maker. I've heard that one, you know, even in old Westerns.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Zephaniah, it finishes up the Old Testament. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord, in Zephaniah 2:9, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, even the breeding of nestles and salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. Mm. We're talking about that. So we're going to shift over onto what Jesus was talking about.
Okay.
And that's in Matthew, and we're going to start in 10:15. And it's exactly what you said.
Okay.
But it talks about this. You're going out. He said, now this is where he sends them to the Jews.
Okay.
Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses nor scrip for your journey. I am in Matthew 10:9. Nor scrip for your journey, nor neither two coats nor shoes or staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. So he's sending them out to the house of Israel, and they're supposed to take care of them. If a prophet comes to you from Israel, you're supposed to give them their food, give them a place to live, and take care of them.
Okay.
That's why he says a workman is worthy of his meat. So if you're doing the work of the Lord, just like the Levites, they didn't have an inheritance because everybody was supposed to take care of them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's the deal. And whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire in it who is worthy. And there abide until you go thence. In other words, find a good house with good people, and you stay there until you're done working. And when you leave, that's the house. You don't go jumping from house to house.
Okay.
And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you.
Mm-hmm.
I want a side note on this one. There's a couple of groups I'm in, and the admin decided to turn them from public to private because they were tired of all the atheists coming in and just starting arguments, etc. So there was this banter back and forth that these people said, oh, well, we're supposed to witness to the world, and how are we going to win them? If, you know, we just shut them off when they're doing it. Right. And it's real clear. If they don't want to hear the truth, God tells you to cut them off.
Yeah. If they don't want to hear it, if they just completely, you know, and that's, you know, that's one thing I've noticed is that there, a lot of people come in, they have no intention of carrying on a decent conversation or, you know, listening to your side of an argument and presenting their own. The only thing that they're interested in is causing as much chaos as they possibly can.
Yeah. And they argue and to make themselves feel good and to make themselves think that they're smart. Oh, look, I fought them and I came up with this argument and I won. Now, you're a fool.
Right.
It's as simple as that. Now, that's the beauty of lordsbook.com.
Right.
It is like that group where you can private and then no one can come in and just do anything.
Amen.
We're actually in the process of making that even safer. We're removing the people who do cause arguments, removing the scammers.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, got not just algorithms looking for clues of it, but people, hired people actually going through each and every one and vetting everybody. So it can be a safe Christian community.
Yeah,
all right, without scammers, without atheists, without all that stuff.
And let lordsbook.com. Me phone in. Yeah, lordsbook.com. Let me also let people know we have a page there. Just go to Last Christian. You can find Last Christian on there. And that's another place where you can find our shows. You can find more information there as well. Communicate with us if you like. So, again, lordsbook.com, great place to go. But we do have our own page there, Last Christian. Go ahead, yep. David.
And you can feel safe, particularly if you're a young woman. You don't have all these weirdos trying to connect with you all the time.
Or you'll,
because we eliminate them immediately, if not sooner. Mm-hmm. So that's good. So that's kind of like the private groups, and that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, but he says, so if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. So there's the admonition. If they don't want to hear it, you take your peace back.
Mm-hmm.
And whosoever shall not receive you, in verse 14, nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet.
Mm-hmm.
That is a judgment against someone. When you're doing that, you're like, okay, you've been judged.
You're done.
You had your chance. The chance is over.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that literally what that means.
Yeah.
So, and he tells you, you gave him the chance. Don't give him another one. Don't sit there and try. Well, if I just talk to him for 20 years, then maybe they'll receive the Lord. No. Dust off your feet. There are people who are begging to hear the truth,
mm-hmm.
and your time will be better spent talking to that person than it will arguing with someone who doesn't want to hear it.
Amen. I agree 100%.
All right. Verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. That's huge.
Mm,
okay. Yeah. The city that you judge because they will not hear the words of truth after Jesus came, when before Jesus came, they were trying to figure it all out. Is he going to come? When's he going to come here? Is there two of them? Because one's a suffering servant, one's a king.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this person? Now he's been here. Now the story's been told. Now the prophecies are told. That's why it's more tolerable, because Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have these stories.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They didn't have the truth to lean on. But you do have the truth that Jesus came and died for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you reject that, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you. That means it's going to be worse for you if you reject Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty powerful.
Yes, it is.
All right. So Matthew, which actually, Matthew took shorthand. So he wrote this. Mark was actually the scribe for Peter.
But anyway. Yeah.
All right. So he goes, he's talking again in the next chapter, Matthew 11, starting 22. But I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. So he's talking about other cities now as well.
Mm-hmm.
And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell. Mm. For if the mighty works which have been done there have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in a day of judgment than for thee.
Mm.
So he's saying, if these mighty works that Jesus did were done in Sodom, they would have repented and they'd still be there today.
Yeah, that's pretty significant. That's very significant, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. But you've seen it and then you still reject him.
Right.
You got a big problem.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm. All right. And then Mark kind of echoes that in 6:11. Whoever shall not receive you nor hear you, depart thence, shake off the dust from under your feet for a testimony against them. For verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city.
Mm-hmm.
And he went out and preached that men should repent. Okay. And Luke, again, the same thing, more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day. And let me see, 2 Peter. Let's look at Pete. And we are in chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2.
Okay.
And this is getting into like the spiritual world. Where do we start here? Let's just start right in the beginning here.
Okay.
But there are false prophets among you, even as there will be false prophets or false teachers among you, who privately shall bring damnable heresies, even denying that the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So we're going to lead into Sodom, but let's look at what leads us there. The false prophets and false teachers. And they will bring in damnable heresies. literally means doctrines that are false and they're damnable because they will lead you to damnation.
Well, I've got to say it, David. You know, we preach the truth here on this station, and that is that a lot of that fits the Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints church, the Mormon church. Mm-hmm. It sounds a lot like it, doesn't it?
Yep. It sounds like Jehovah's Witnesses, and there's a whole, those are the two famous ones that we know about.
Yeah, the two main ones, right. And you know, you got Scientology. I don't think that really even counts, but.
That doesn't even count as a religion. That's just. Yeah.
They actually have the Church of Satan now. I mean, the real Church of Satan. That's, you talk about the ultimate stupidity. There you go. That's the ultimate right there.
Well, they believe that he got a bad rap. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, right. No, that's not how that works. Mm. So they bring in damnable heresies. Mm-hmm. And what is those damnable heresies? Denying the Lord that bought them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So again, it's a picture of saying, okay, they're denying that Jesus came in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or that
he's a prophet, or he's a teacher, or he's a good man.
Yeah.
Or well, he's, you know, second in command to Muhammad, or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, some nonsense.
Right.
That they say they're denying the Lord.
Right.
And Jesus is the one that bought them.
Right.
So imagine he comes down and he pays for you. And then you're still stupid enough to deny him.
Yeah.
There's something bad wrong move. With you.
Bad move. That's a bad move. Yeah.
Yeah. And many, many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Mm-hmm. All right. So a lot of people are going to follow that and they're going to poo-poo the truth. Right. Oh, that's hate speech. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Oh, you can't say that's hate speech.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what they're talking about right here. Mm-hmm. And through covetousness with feigned words, they make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not. So what does that mean? They make merchandise of you.
Mm. You got me on that one. I'm not sure.
They'll exploit you, basically.
Exploit you. Okay. All right. I'm you know, because I'm always thinking about, you know, persecution.
They're basically actually the New American Standard will say they in their greed they will exploit you with false words, for their judgment from long ago is not idle and their destruction is not asleep. Okay. But it in the Greek it does say make merchandise. In other words, they're going to make money by exploiting you.
And
talking about all the truth you're saying. They're going to go and create YouTube videos and make money on it.
Yeah, okay.
Trying to make fun of the truth.
Okay, all right, that makes sense.
But that's their judgment. That's their judgment. Mm-hmm. And the more money they make is like buying more levels of, you know, how deep in a lake of fire do you want to go?
Right. I don't want any part of it myself.
Oh, you bought yourself the 37 levels down. That's very
hard. Yeah, they can have it. They can
it's
have
not
it.
Tartarus yet, but it's pretty close. So if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, and he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example of those who would live ungodly lives thereafter, and if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation.
Amen.
And to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. Amen. So if God did all this stuff, he knows how to keep you from it.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what he's talking about. He knows how to rescue you. Okay, yeah, he gets it. Remember, we talked earlier about, Jesus, he got every temptation there was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And since he experienced every temptation and defeated it, He's going to rescue you from that temptation.
Right.
All right. And he'll keep you safe. So that's a quote. Especially those who indulge in flesh and its corrupt desires, despise authority, daring, self-willed. They do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties. Whereas angels who are greater in might and power do not bring a reviling judgment against them before the Lord. So that's pretty powerful. He's like, I knew how to keep Sodom and Gomorrah. I know how to rescue Lot. I know I destroyed the entire world except, and I plucked Noah out. I plucked out Lot. He says, I know how to keep you safe. Mm-hmm. So that's really what we got to look at. Praise God, he can keep us safe.
Yeah. Yeah.
How does he do that?
Well, it's accept or reject. Yeah. It's accept or reject. And, mm-hmm. I hear the agnostic. Well, I'm not really sure. Well, yeah. Okay. I hate to break the bad news to you, but that's a bad choice. You're actually making a choice by making no choice. Correct, David? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 100%. That is your choice, is you're not going to commit.
Right.
It's still a choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're running down on time. Let's go to Jude.
Okay.
And since there's no chapters, we'll just go to verse 7. Now, I desire to remind you that though you know all things once and for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe, mm-hmm. and angels who did not keep their own estate, in the oiketerion, but abandoned their proper abode. That means angels that left heaven and came to live on earth. Mm-hmm. We know who those people are. Mm-hmm. And he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for judgment of the great day. So there's the abyss in Tartarus, right? Mm-hmm. And then verse 7 says, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as these, indulge in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Hmm. You know what that means, right?
Oh, well, I don't like any part of it. When you start thinking things like that, I say hell. There's hell. That's all that comes to my mind.
Well, here's what that means. It says strange flesh, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That means it's a different type. That's what that means.
Non-human.
And just like, because it was a different type of flesh back then with the Nephilim and all that. Mm-hmm. They can't do that today. Mm-hmm. And the biggest proliferation of a strange flesh today would be the AI chatbots.
That's
with other, services that they may or may not provide. Mm-hmm. Let's say that's
robotics.
A strange flesh.
Robotics.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's going to bring eternal fire. If you're having a relationship with an AI chatbot, you got a problem.
I got some people that are already trying to marry them.
Oh.
I've heard that already. Yeah, we're there, David. We're there.
Okay. So, look, our timing is pretty good. Last one is here, Revelation 11:8. And we're talking about the, if you're in chapter 11, it's the two witnesses. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also the Lord was crucified. Okay? Spiritually, they're Sodom. That's how bad it is over there. But the two witnesses will rise, and it'll surprise all of them. That'll be fun and exciting.
Yep.
And then a little while later, Jesus comes back to destroy everybody. You want to be on his team, okay? Sodom's not a pretty place. He uses it. He said even so. He uses it as that metaphor all through time, even unto the last days. Amen. Jesus paid for your sins, folks, okay? And if you receive that payment and then accept the agreement to live with him forever, you can come with us when he comes back to get his bride. That's going to be a beautiful day. Lord willing, we will see you on the next show. All right, guys, have a blessed day. Bye.
Sodom did not fall in ignorance. It fell in defiance. Truth was present. Warning was given, time was extended. But when conscience was silenced and justice corrupted, mercy reached its limit. Scripture shows us that judgment does not arrive without notice, it arrives when notice is ignored. The lesson of Sodom is not about the past. It's about discernment, separation, and recognizing the moment before it passes. The question remains, will we heed the warning or repeat the pattern?
What if the world you see isn't the whole story? Shadows of a Greater Reality dives deep into the unseen, exposing the spiritual, the prophetic, and the supernatural forces shaping our world. hosted by Nestor Arise and David Paxton, often with guests from around the world. This is where conspiracy meets scripture, and the darkness is brought to light. Catch it every night at 11 Eastern, 10 Central, right here on Revelation Radio.